Columbia Pictures presents a Doug Drazin production. Night and Christmas lights twinkle in the snow-dusted streets of New York. An Andy Tennant film. Matthew Perry. Traffic passes. Selma Hayek. Inside a busy office corridor, Santas mingle in the crowd. Fools rush in. A young man approaches through the sea of people with a giant plastic fish under his arm.
Jomo arigato. Jomo arigato. Santa, Santa.
He's listening to his Walkman. John Tenney, Carlos Gomez, Thomas Millian.
Greetings, konnichiwa.
At the lift, Siobhan Fallon, John Bennett Perry, Stanley DeSantis, Anne Betancourt, Suzanne Schneider, and Jill Clayburgh. The lift door opens and people spill out. The man removes his Walkman. He carries luggage. He steps inside.
Hey, there's a face I haven't seen in a long time.
Hey.
How are you, Alex? How was Miami?
Great, great. We opened the doors last Saturday. Oh, I hope you packed your snowshoes. JFK took me 3 hours.
So you're in town for a while?
No. Next up is Tokyo.
Man, you guys are taking over the world.
It's the idea.
Merry Christmas.
Domo arigato.
Hazy sunshine falls across a high panoramic view of a wide river, its forested slopes stretching through fields to the distant mountains. Central Mexico. In a tranquil and secluded spot, sunlight filters through overhanging trees to the river beneath, where a beautiful dark-skinned woman floats in an inflatable inner tube, running her fingers idly through the water. She's thoughtful. The sunlight plays on her long dark hair as it falls across her damp white shirt, tied in a knot beneath her breasts. She starts to paddle the tire to the shore with her hands. She maneuvers herself out and steps onto the bank, her sarong tied low across her hips. Two boys appear from the trees, a subtitled caption, "How long have you been following me?" "Since you took my inner tube." "I was going to return it. I hope you don't mind." "Keep it. He's in love with you." "Shut up. How can you be in love with someone you just met?" "When I'm 18, I will come to Las Vegas and find you." "When you're 18, I'll be 40. Are you going to marry the policeman?" She's thoughtful a moment, then sadly shrugs and goes with a little wave. "I wish I knew."
Adios, Feliz Navidad.
Alex steps out of the lift and into a Christmas party in full flow. He takes in the scene.
"Whoa, am I on the right floor? Who are you people and why don't you work for a living?"
"Hey, Mr. On Time and Under Budget. Long time no see. What's with the fish?"
"It's a keychain. What's with the party? We still design nightclubs here, right?"
"Not during the holidays. Merry Christmas, Whitman."
"Merry Christmas. Sushi?" Hey.
Alex winces and moves off, placing his hand over the fish's eyes. A guy runs up.
"Yo, Hemingway, hold up. Not so fast."
Jeff greets him.
"I see your divorce has left you shattered." "I finally found two women who understand my pain." "Listen to me. You don't want to go in there."
"Why? What's up?"
"Charlie Peters just got Tokyo. He leaves in the morning. You are taking over in Vegas."
No. I was supposed to get Tokyo."
No, you do not want Tokyo."
"Oh, I don't want Tokyo? I want Las Vegas?"
"Listen to me. Everything that's famous about Las Vegas is about leaving it. That movie, the song, even the mob left Las Vegas. What happened to Reynolds?"
Jeff bundles Alex into a stockroom.
"Get in there."
And joins him inside.
"All right, look. This could get me fired. But at 10 o'clock this morning, I closed the deal to purchase a 50,000 square foot space right across the street from the Royalton. So if you play your cards right, you don't get distracted, you'll be coming home to the sweetest gig you ever had in your life.
The Midtown Club."
"We're finally gonna do it, my friend, and guess who will still be eating sushi?
Charlie Peters!"
As they hug, the door opens. The office stare in at the couple.
"We have conference rooms, you know."
The guys are frozen in their embrace.
"He just needed a hug, sir."
Judd Marshall gives a little knowing smile.
"It's the holidays. They're just so hard. Excuse me.
Jeff slips out, followed by Alex, fish under his arm. Judd stops him.
Alex?
He turns.
I'm afraid I'm going to need you in Vegas.
Donna follows Alex.
Alex, it's a family business. Everybody in town's trying to steal this guy. You're wasting your time.
That's why I want him.
Great week, guys. Thanks for the hustle.
Here, here, your keys. Your furniture's in. I got you some groceries. Are you sure you wouldn't be happier at one of the hotels?
No. Too many distractions.
He gets into his car. And jumps out again.
It's January, for Christ's sake.
Dusk. The dark-skinned woman pulls up outside a bustling Mexican restaurant and gets out. Inside, a line of musicians in traditional costume entertain the diners. The woman comes in. Alex is working at a table, strewn with plates of tapas dishes. He drinks from a bottle of beer. Outside the toilets, the woman's at a payphone.
Joyce, I'm not ready for marriage, and I love you, but I don't love you like that. So I really think we should see other people.
What do you think? What's the part about seeing other people? Yeah,
I think you're right. Yes, I'm sure. My great-grandmother said that I should wait for a sign. And remember that necklace that he got me for Christmas? Well, it broke. Listen, I gotta pee. I'll tell you everything when I get home, all right? Lainey, I haven't stopped since Nogales, okay? I gotta go. Bye.
She hangs up and passes Alex waiting at the head of the queue. The woman clocks the long line, then approaches Alex with a charming smile.
Excuse me. I was here.
I think I would have noticed that.
No. You see, I was on the phone and the line moved, but I couldn't move with it because the cord wouldn't stretch that far.
You see, I'd like to believe you, but your nose is actually growing.
Come on, I thought that was pretty good.
He surveys the line of burly men and winces.
You realize that I could die for this.
I'd be really fast. I live with 5 brothers, 3 cousins, and only 1 bathroom. Believe me, I can be faster than anybody in the world.
Really? A gold medalist?
He relents.
This I have to see.
Thank you.
She skips ahead of him. She confronts the guy. The shocked guy looks sheepish.
You know, I was just about to say that.
I just told him to stop being a pig in front of our new priest.
She indicates Alex, who grins.
That's Father Alex to you.
I'm Isabel.
They regard each other with interest.
So all that on the phone, that waiting for a sign stuff, is that a religious thing or a cultural thing?
Do you always listen to other people's conversations?
Would you like to go back to the end of the line?
Why do you want to know?
It just sounded a little deep for... It just sounded a little deep for a Friday night. I was just curious.
Religion is a very important part of our culture, at least in my family. And I believe that your destiny has already been decided. You just have to read the signs.
He gives a little amused nod.
You don't believe that?
No. No. I think if a guy gets hit by a bus, it's because he wasn't looking. Not because of some master plan.
So you don't think that it was fate that you were standing in this line when I got off the phone?
Fate? No. No, I think it was more of a bladder thing.
That's too bad. Because you see, I happen to think there's an explanation beyond reason, beyond all logic, that brought you right to this very spot. The exact same time that I showed up at this very spot.
You do?
Absolutely.
And why would fate go to all that trouble?
So that I wouldn't have to wait in line.
With a captivating grin and toss of her locks, she vanishes.
Thanks.
Early morning light falls through Venetian blinds onto scattered clothes. A woman's leg stirs amongst tumbled bedclothes. Isabel gently wakes. She's aware of a sleeping man lying face down next to her, his arm across her chest. As she remembers, she covers her face in remorse, then lifts the heavy arm and struggles to free herself. She slips out, bundled up in a duvet. As she retrieves a pair of knickers from behind his shoulder, the man turns his head. It's Alex. It's 3 months later, and on a scorching Las Vegas building site, Donna takes notes as Alex supervises a hard-hatted workman. Inside a porter cabin, Jeff's on the phone.
Okay. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, thank you. All right, bye-bye. We just got the meeting with Tracy Verna. It is all set, 5:30 at your place.
Alcoholic Beverage Commission?
Do you have any idea the power this woman abuses?
Jeff, who are you talking to? Of course I know how important she is.
You know, she sounded blonde. Audibly blonde.
Jeff, she's married to the county supervisor. Do not hit on this woman.
I'll pick up some wine.
Do not hit on this woman.
I'll make it expensive.
He's gonna hit on the woman.
Jeff looks through the window.
Whoa, whoa. Incoming.
They peer through the blinds. Alex starts. An attractive blonde woman's approaching.
Okay, Jeff, it's a long story.
Alex dives under his desk.
Alex! Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking for Alex.
Well, you know, he just ducked out.
Shoot. Thought I might catch him. We've been trading calls for months now, but he's always so busy.
Well, come on in. You want to leave him a note? There's a pad right on his desk.
No, that's okay.
Sure?
Mm-hmm. I'm Catherine Stewart. Our families are very old friends. Alex, I need you on site.
Yeah, he went to the store.
His car's right outside.
He took a bulldozer, okay, Donna?
Donna scurries out.
He's always in three places at once, isn't he?
Well, that is our Alex.
Kathy's disappointed.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She goes. Jeff turns to the desk.
You've been avoiding that?
Since third grade.
Well, nobody ever plans to end up in Vegas. They just do. Kind of sneaks up on you. But it is the fastest growing city in the U.S. The economy is booming. Business is growing. I'm up to my neck in paperwork.
Tracy pouts.
Oh, but frankly, it's just not a whole lot of fun. Are you a whole lot of fun, Alex?
Alex glances anxiously across at Jeff, who just smiles mischievously.
Jeff said we might have some problems with our liquor license because of new zoning.
Mm. I'll talk to the county supervisor for you. But if I were you, Alex, I'd pay more attention to the ABC investigation. They're gonna ask you all kinds of personal questions. They'd like nothing better than to catch you with your pants down.
Alex is increasingly uncomfortable.
Well, then they should definitely be looking into Jeff, because he actually heads up our pants down department.
She flashes Jeff a sweet smile.
Jeff, hon, would you get us some ice? And while you're at it, put some scotch in it.
One scotch. Coming up.
Alex follows Jeff.
Jeff, I'm afraid I'm out of scotch, so why don't we all just go out to dinner?
Hey, quid pro quo, pal. You give it to her, she gives it to us. I'll take my time.
I can't do this.
Jeff goes to open the front door. Isabel's outside. She stares, puzzled.
Hello.
Oh. I thought... must have the wrong house.
No, wait. If you're looking for Alex, he's just inside.
He is?
Uh-huh.
Jeff slides back the doors.
Excuse me, Alex? You have a visitor.
I do?
Oh, yeah. Would you excuse me?
Well, don't be long.
She pouts like a girl. Alex heads inside with a questioning look to Jeff, who just grins. Inside, Isabel waits, lost in thought, her hair falling on the collar of her black jacket.
Isabel?
You remembered.
How could I forget? I've been looking all over for you. I would have called you, but you disappeared on me.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I never did anything like that before. Going home with someone I don't know.
Well, hey, you and me, both. You know, I mean, it was just one of those great... phenomenal, spontaneous things.
He shifts, hands in pockets.
Yes, it was.
With a little smile, she regards him sadly.
So, how long has it been?
3 months. Oh, Do you mind if I have some of these? My stomach, it's not so good.
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead, help yourself. You want something to drink? I've got water.
Yeah, water's fine.
She nibbles a cracker as Alex goes to the sink.
You've done a lot with this place.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy.
As he brings the glass of water, he stops and admires her beauty.
Oh, wow, you look great.
She looks down.
Thank you.
So, how you been?
She faces him.
Pregnant.
Really? Pregnant? Well, that's great. Terrific. Congratulations.
He takes the glass and sips.
Thank you. It's yours.
Alex stands hand on hip and drains the glass.
Mine?
She nods.
We were only together one night.
That's all it took.
And I used a condom. Lots of them.
Well, one didn't work.
But that's its job. Its job is to work. Its entire reason for being is to work.
Look.
She moves to his side.
I thought about this a lot, and there's really only one thing for me to do here.
Alex is relieved.
I mean, I understand. And I respect your decision.
You do?
Yes, I have always believed in a woman's right to choose.
That's good, because I choose to keep this baby.
He stares, gobsmacked.
Oh.
And I don't want your money. I just thought the honorable thing to do would be to come here and tell you in person that I am pregnant, that I'm keeping this baby, and that it's yours.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you...
Tracy strides in.
Alex! Well, I'm feeling awfully neglected out there. I think it's time we went to dinner, don't you?
Tracy, could you just give me a minute, please?
Tracy stares.
Sorry, I came at a bad time.
I'll go get my purse.
I'll let myself out.
Isabel's in her Jeep.
Tracy, what are you up for?
As Jeff and Tracy appear, she determinedly puts it in gear and drives away. Alex helplessly watches her go. Isabel sits on the edge overlooking the vast Hoover Dam, staring sadly into the void. Alec pulls up and stumbles out.
Oh my God! Isabel! Don't jump!
What are you doing here?
Just stay off the ledge there.
I'm not gonna kill myself, stupid, but if you come any closer, I'll throw your ass over.
Hey, wait a minute. You walked out on me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I never heard from you. And then months later, you show up and say you're pregnant and I'm supposed to know exactly what to do? Well, I'm sorry, but I don't know exactly what to do.
She looks at him.
That's the best thing you've said all night.
He tentatively approaches and looks over the edge to the generators far below, the massive concrete dam wall straight ahead.
Wow, this is incredible.
I love it here. You know, my great-grandfather helped build this. He came up from Aguascalientes in the 30s.
Really? Where?
Central Mexico. My great-grandmother still lives there, in a 400-year-old hacienda. Every time I drive back from there, I make a wish at the state line, right in the middle of the dam.
Does it ever work?
Depends on the wish.
Suited Alex leans on the ledge and watches Isabel, who looks down sadly in the fading light.
My father's gonna kill me.
He reaches out to touch her, then sits beside her instead with his back to the void.
He doesn't know?
No. Nobody does. Except Lainey, my roommate. He can be a very passionate man when it comes to his only daughter.
Isabel, what can I do?
I'll deal with it.
No, really, I want to help.
She thinks a moment and touches his arm.
Maybe one thing. Come meet them.
Your family?
I just want them to know who you are, so that later, when they ask me who the father is, I can say, you met him, remember? I brought him home once.
Hey, No problem. You just say when and we'll go.
She swings her legs over to sit beside him.
When?
So you have dinner with your family once a week?
It's like a tradition. Why, don't you?
No. Hmm. Holidays and stuff.
That's it?
Well, you don't know my parents. That's a lot. So how are we gonna do this?
Just act like we've been dating for a few months. And whatever you do, don't tell them I picked you up outside a bathroom, okay?
I thought I picked you up.
She flashes him a knowing smile.
Okay. So we've been dating for a couple of months. Who are you?
Oh, well, let's see. I am a camera girl at Caesars, you know. Would you like a souvenir? That's how I pay the bills. But in real life, I'm a photographer and I'm doing this book about the desert. I have five brothers. The oldest one is Antonio. Then Carlos, Juan, Miguel, Fernando, and I'm the baby. But anybody messes with me, I can take care of myself. Tio Roberto is my favorite uncle. He's married to Tia Rosa, who makes all the tamales. She loves compliments, but you have to talk to her on her left because she is stone deaf on her right ear. What else? Oh, yeah. Never say Jesus Christ in front of my mother. And my sister-in-law, Pedro, and my brother, Antonio, have a baby named after me. Any questions?
Yes. What's your last name?
Fuentes. Isabel Fuentes. And you're Alex?
Whitman.
Right. Alex Whitman.
Isabel Fuentes.
He takes her hand.
It's nice to meet you.
A young man opens the front door. He's in a stripy shirt.
Lisa, hi. She's gonna go out and get some ice. Everyone's around back. Who's this? New boyfriend?
Juan, this is Alex. Alex, this is my nosy brother, Juan.
Nice to meet you.
Does Dad know about him?
Nope.
And I wasn't gonna come tonight.
She clips his ear.
Good luck.
So, your father, is he a big man, or...?
Come on, let's get this over with.
She takes his hand and leads him round to the back garden, where a party's in full swing. He takes in the scene. Beneath the awning hung with paper lanterns, the family laugh and chat, or help themselves to the buffet. The brothers strum their guitars.
This is a family dinner?
I guess a lot of people couldn't make it.
The family have stopped their reveling and stand staring at the couple. Swarthy, dark-skinned men and middle-aged women stare, open-mouthed.
Tough room.
What is the matter with everybody? Can't I bring a guy to dinner?
A tall guy in a brown police uniform steps forward.
Hello, Isa.
He saunters up to them, standing hands in pockets. Isabel's apprehensive.
Hi, Chuy.
¿Cómo estás?
Fine. It's been a long time since you came to one of these. I was afraid we'd never be friends again.
That's where we started, isn't it?
Chuy shoots Alex a look.
Alex, this is Chuy. He's a very good friend of the family. We grew up together.
Chuy, hi. Luke Skywalker, how are you?
Alex laddishly offers a hand. Chuy regards him coldly. The family whisper and watch with trepidation.
Sorry, you probably get that a lot.
Chuy regards him with veiled contempt.
Este es el novio tuyo, Isa.
Yes, Chuy. He is my boyfriend. Do you have a problem with that?
With a smile of defeat, Chuy thrusts out a hand.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Alex. You're a very lucky man. There's nobody like Isa. Nobody.
He's close to tears. Isabel looks down nervously. Chuy returns back to the party. Then gestures to the musicians.
So what happened to the music? Vamos, vamos, música, música.
Chuy slowly wanders away. Isabel turns to Alex apologetically.
Seems like a nice enough guy.
He leans into her.
He's gonna kill me, isn't he?
He's not the one you should worry about. Come on.
Her parents are in the kitchen.
Mama!
My beautiful baby.
Her Stetson-hatted father spots Alex.
Who is this?
Mama, Papa, this is Alex Whitman.
Mr. Fuentes, Mrs. Fuentes, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. Isabel talks about you all the time.
Well, that's funny, but she's never said a word about you.
Tomas, behave yourself.
I can't keep up with her anymore. One minute she's engaged, and the next she brings home a man with a tie.
I was not engaged.
Well, actually, sir, that's one of my favorite things about your daughter. She's always full of surprises.
He flashes a charming smile. Mother raises her eyebrows, impressed. Thomas eyes him with hostility.
Come on, Alex. I think we'll be safer in the other room.
The walls are painted an earthy pink.
Let me take your jacket.
He hands it to her with a touch of flair.
You'll have to excuse my husband. Sometimes I think he wishes Isabel was still 6 years old. When you become a father, you'll know what that means.
Alex spots landscape photos hanging on the wall.
These pictures are really incredible.
Yes, they're Isabel's. Haven't you ever seen her work?
Yes, 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 I have. It's just that when I see her pictures...
He's struggling.
It's like I'm looking at them for the first time. Now that must be the house in Mexico.
Yes, Aguascalientes. And that is Isabel's great-grandmother. They have a very special connection. You can see it in the eyes, that same wild spirit.
I can handle my own love like Papa.
I think that runs in the family.
The family continue their al fresco meal. The atmosphere's relaxed. The wine jug is passed. Alex comes from the house smiling to himself. He sees a young woman, Petra, sitting in a corner cradling a baby in her arms. He stops and approaches, looking at the baby tenderly.
She's beautiful.
The woman looks up.
Gracias.
She gets to her feet.
Would you mind holding her for a second while I fix myself a plate?
Oh, no, I don't think I should. I'm not really qualified. I can't.
You
okay.
Can. Hold her head, hold her head.
Why, does it come off?
You'll do fine.
Isabel comes from the kitchen with a jug of coffee and sees Alex cradling baby Isabel. He's smiling to himself. They catch each other's eyes. Still holding his gaze, she leans provocatively across the table and pours, the curves of her body visible beneath her vest top and short skirt. She gives him a lingering look of longing. He kisses the top of the baby's head. Isabel waves off the last of the guests. She ambles towards the kitchen where Alex is wiping the front of his shirt with a tea towel.
How can so much stuff come out of something so small?
She leans against the doorframe.
Thank you for doing this.
Are you kidding? They are great. I had no idea that families actually talked at dinner.
I'm glad they got to meet you.
He leans contentedly against the open kitchen door, a wet patch down the front of his blue shirt. His expression changes.
They're gonna hate me, aren't they?
No, I won't let them.
She shakes her head and looks deep into his eyes a moment. She turns away and returns to the tables, strewn with the remains of the meal. He watches thoughtfully as she leans over the table and blows out the candles, her hair tumbling over her shoulders. She turns to him with a look of desire, drawing him to her. Alex approaches. They fall into each other's arms with a deep kiss. Isabel, overcome, pulls away and steps unsteadily back into the kitchen without a word. Alex is left confused. Isabel's again at the wheel of her Jeep. Both stare ahead as the city's street lamps fly past.
Isabel, I...
Don't. Just... You'll just make it worse.
Well, at least let me give you a number so you can reach me.
No. It's better this way, you know? No complications. Please, just don't.
The Jeep pulls up by the dam, where Alex's Mustang is parked. Tiny lights shine in the darkness.
So, take care of yourself.
Yeah, I will.
He gets out.
Hey, you too.
Bowed, he slowly walks back to his car, his jacket over his arm, hands in pockets. He's deep in thought. As Isabel reverses the Jeep away from the edge and moves off, He strides forward quickly and into its path. They face each other.
What are you doing? Get out of the way!
He hesitates. She stands.
Alex, don't do this. There's nothing to say.
Just wait a minute. There might be.
She looks down at him, illuminated in the headlamps.
This afternoon, I couldn't decide between a Texas burger and a tuna melt. But my life made sense. You know? And now I know exactly what I want. And my life doesn't make any sense.
Her impatience gone, she listens thoughtfully.
And I was doing fine this afternoon. I was doing great. That was me. It was me then. And now I'm with you, and I don't know what happened, but somewhere between the tuna melt and your aunt's tamales... I mean, I was actually worried that I'd already met the woman of my dreams at the dry cleaners or something, and I was too busy to notice. But then you show up, and I realize that that's not true. Because you're the one. You are everything I never knew I always wanted.
Confused, she runs her fingers through her hair.
I'm not even sure what that means exactly, but I think it has something to do with the rest of my life. And I think we should get married. Right now.
The gaudy neon lights of a wedding chapel glare in the Las Vegas night sky.
I kissed her and she kissed me.
Inside, an Elvis lookalike escorts the beaming Isabel to Alex, who waits with the priest. They sign documents at a lobby reception desk, displaying their rings. Isabel gives his hand a tug and gleefully pulls him away.
My head keeps
lift doors spin. Open onto a plush hotel corridor, and the couple breeze out, Isabel playfully keeping a designer shopping bag out of his curious clutches. Alex unlocks a door, and Isabel waits to be carried over the threshold. He awkwardly kicks the door closed with his foot and carries her inside, clinched in a kiss. Through the window, high up in their suite, shine the lights of Las Vegas. Alex is opening a bottle of champagne. He turns to see Isabel at the top of a staircase in her new sexy white lingerie nightie.
Like the fellow once said,
Isabel lies her head back on the black satin sheets, looking deep into Alex's eyes, and they begin to kiss.
Like this sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat?
He kisses her neck, then all down her satin-clad body. He pauses over her stomach, then looks back at her, and with a smile, kisses it tenderly. Isabel reaches down and, holding his face, draws him to her.
She's picked out a king-sized bed.
In the cool morning light, the fountains play outside the massive hotel. In the suite, Alex blearily opens one eye. Isabel's gone. He props himself up against the pillows and looks about. Isabel stands in her white toweling robe, looking out of the window pensively, a Las Vegas dawn far below her. Alex joins her, nestling her back against his chest. Back at the building site...
Well, well, well. Look who finally decided to grace us with his presence.
Sorry, Jeff. Could not be helped.
They walk.
Oh, no, no. No, no, no. You're not getting off this easy. So, who is she? It's like I open the door, the next thing I know, you're off on a date with Jessica Rabbit.
Her name is Isabel, and it wasn't exactly a date. Hey.
Okay, that's informative.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. What the hell is dating anyway, except some long, drawn-out process of elimination where you both try to present your best side while hiding the real you? And that can only last about 3 months anyway, because eventually it leaks out, and then you have to spend the next 3 months getting to know your real selves. And then one of you wants a commitment, the other one wants to bail, and then you have to start all over again. I mean, dating is stupid.
Jeff stares.
Okay, who are you and what have you done with my best friend?
You and Karen dated, what, 5 years before you got married? And look what happened with you guys.
Well, you're using the M word?
Hey, Alex, there's a woman on line one. She says she's your wife.
Hey, Donna, the only wife around here is my ex, and I am not in. Ask her if I can call her back. Oh, and get her phone number.
Okay.
You married her? The one with the body? You're married? Oh, my God, Alex. Alex, does my life mean nothing to you?
Jeff,
It's gonna be okay.
No, 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 it is not gonna be okay. Who says it's gonna be okay?
Jeff, you gamble either way, and you are just pissed that I won on the first pull instead of putting quarters into the wrong machine for the last 5 years.
Wait, first of all, those were silver dollars, my friend, and that slot machine now owns my house.
Hey, Alex, she says it's urgent.
Okay.
It's urgent. The nightmare begins. I can't believe you did this. What were you thinking? You know, this is completely out of character for you. This makes no sense. Why would you marry her unless you knocked her up? You knocked her up?
Yes, but that had nothing to do with it.
Look, I don't want to burst your bubble. I mean, this being your honeymoon and all, but do you even know if this baby is yours? Have you asked for a blood test?
I can't do that. She's my wife. And it's not like that. You don't know her.
Neither do you.
A white truck hurtles across the yard through a barrier and into a wet concrete path. Stetson-hatted Thomas Fuentes gets out, a raised basketball bat in hand, and slashes across towards them.
Delincuente.
He is incandescent with rage.
I welcome you in my home, and this is how you repay me? Stealing my only daughter! Getting married in that joke of a chapel! Without a priest! Without her family! Without my consent! You are not a man. You are a thief, that's what you are.
He bows his head, close to tears, and stumbles back to his truck.
Jesus.
They stare in shock.
In-laws.
At Alex's.
He disowns me? Fine. I disown him twice. We disown him, me and the baby. Let's see how he likes that. Isabel, he's your father. You had Elvis walk you down the aisle. Can you blame the poor guy? How'd your mom take it? Oh, I'm a sinner. She went straight to church.
That fit, huh?
I think she's lighting every candle in the city.
Alex appears.
Hello, my wife.
Hello, my husband.
Interesting house, Alex. Did you decorate it yourself?
Yes, Lainey. I realize it is a little dull.
No, no, no. You got that cozy little institutional thing going on.
Not after I spice it up.
Just for the next 4 months.
Then what? You turn back into a frog?
No, then we open the club and we go back to New York.
We what?
We go back to...
He's floundering.
New York.
Isabel stares incredulous.
You mean you don't live here?
Jeff and Lainey exchange a look and discreetly busy themselves dishing supper.
No, I live in Manhattan.
Oh, well, I live here. And I like it here, and my family's here, and my friends are here, and my work is here. You can't raise a baby in that city.
Oh, Isabel, people do it all the time. Have you ever been there?
No.
Well, there you go.
And you've never been off the strip. There's a lot more to Nevada than Vegas.
Like what? Like legal prostitution?
That is such a guy thing to say. Alex. I've been saving to do this book about the desert for 5 years. I finally just finished paying off my camera equipment. My life is in Las Vegas.
She joins the others at the table.
And my work is in New York.
See, now, this is the kind of conversation that usually happens on a second date.
Alex arrives home one evening, slowly driving up past the identically white-painted houses of his estate. As he approaches his house, he stares puzzled at its painted brick-red exterior. He pulls up and counts the houses to check it's his. The Jeep's in the drive. Inside, the walls are now a deep terracotta orange with Mexican mats and knick-knacks about the room, and a Fuentes family gathering is in full swing. A tiny chihuahua bounds towards him. And attacks his shin.
Small, ugly thing, fighting me.
Jeff!
Small, ugly thing fighting me! Small,
Jeff!
Ugly
Stop
thing!
It. Stop it!
Isabel bounds up in denim dungies.
Hi! This is Chen, my dog. I mean, our dog. Welcome home.
I can't believe this is the same house.
I know. Isn't it great? It's their wedding present. See, not everybody feels like my father. They wanted to do something special for us. Say thank you.
Thank you. It's very special.
Isabel's face falls.
You don't like it?
No, no, I just never lived in anything so bright. And Jesus Christ.
A large crucifix.
Isn't it beautiful? It's an antique. It's been on my family for centuries, and it will protect us.
Could we just trade Cujo in for Doberman?
That isn't funny, Alex. You're hurting my baby's feelings. Hey, what did your parents say when you told them?
Oh, you know, I feel so stupid. I forgot they went to Europe for the summer.
They sit on the stairs.
It's April.
Yeah, they'd like to get there early. So, you did all this in one day? I should hire you to build the club.
Well, I don't know that you can afford us. You're so cute. Here, I'm gonna go get my camera and take a picture of my family.
As she goes, she dumps Cho on Alex. Disgruntled, he stares at the creature.
What are you looking at?
Alex shows her the shell of the club.
So this is where you go every day.
It opened last night. I got a lot of complaints. I think the fact that there are no walls upset people.
Well, it's going to be wonderful. I can tell.
I wanted you to be the first guest at our best table.
He pulls back a chair among the dust sheets.
And I'm very honored.
Two paper cups and a pizza in its box are between them.
Oh, Alex, this is so romantic. The candles and the wine, the milk. and pizza. It's perfect.
Nope. Perfect would be if this was New York and if that was a Gray's Papaya hot dog.
What's a Gray Papaya?
Broadway and 72nd, four blocks from my apartment. The best hot dog in the world.
And if we were in Mexico, we would be eating. Oh, albóndigas.
Albóndigas.
Yeah, they're this sort of meatball soup. My great-grandmother is famous for them. Oh, Alex, you have to come with me one day. You'd love it there. There are no phones, no electricity, no people.
No kidding.
He puts the milk carton in a bucket.
You know, there's a spot in the middle of Central Park, the Bethesda Fountain, where if you sit there long enough, the entire city walks by.
She's dreamy.
And I know of this one canyon, that if you sit there long enough, nobody finds you, and you die.
Really?
In a church.
I could not believe it the whole night he kept changing the subject to New York. This or New York, that New York.
What do you expect, hija? His life is not your life.
I thought you were on my side.
He has a family to support.
Well, he can do that here. We can do it together.
Marriage is about finding a middle ground. You have to learn to pick your battles.
Well, I should have picked one this morning.
What did you do?
Nothing. I just had the guys drop by to take him shooting.
Alex is alone with your brothers?
And Chewy.
I better light another candle.
Alex sandwiched between Chewy and the brothers who stare at him expressionless.
So, Isabel said there's some pretty interesting canyons up here. One in particular where people go to die. That's the other way, right? So what's all this talk about you taking Isabel to New York? Oh, you know, that's just an idea. There's nothing carved in stone or anything.
She won't go. I bet my life on it.
Ah, shucks, Juan. Nobody here expects someone to give up his life. Do they? Chew?
No response.
He?
Isabel's in a cafe with Lainey.
Hey, listen, by the way, what are you going to be? Isabel Fuentes, Isabel Whitman, or are you going to do a Hillary and be Isabel Fuentes Whitman?
That's Mrs. Alex Whitman to you.
Pardon me.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
Kathy's at the next table.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I couldn't help but overhear. Did you just say Alex Whitman?
Uh-huh.
From New Canaan, Connecticut?
I think that's where he's from.
Late 20s, about 6 feet tall, dark hair, talks a lot with his hands.
That's him.
Isabel's smile fades. She regards Kathy quizzically.
I'm sorry. I'm Kathy Stewart. Our families are very old friends.
You're kidding. Oh, that's fantastic. I really don't know any of his friends, so I am so glad to meet you. I'm Isabel, and this is Lainey.
Hi.
Gee, you know, I've missed Alex the last couple of trips out here. He's always so busy. How do you know him?
I'm his wife.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, Alex and I, we're married.
And they're gonna have a baby.
A baby? Really? Oh! Well, congratulations. Wow! Isn't this a surprise?
Out in rocky terrain.
Cuidado, muchachos.
The brothers trek across the rocks, guns aloft.
This is some backyard. I can see why you guys like it up here. Must have been fun growing up.
Alex catches up.
You know, all these rocks, the open space, the view, the birds.
He freezes.
The snakes.
Julian and the brothers turn. At his feet coil four rattlesnakes.
Cascabeles!
Alex is surrounded. He looks down desperately at the snakes as the guys run back up the slope towards him.
Do not move. Hey, everybody, we do this on three. Ready?
They take aim.
Wait a minute. One!
What are we doing on three?
Two!
What happens on three?
Three!
Alex keeps high in the air as the desk flies. Isabel rushes to the front door.
I'm coming!
The guys carry Alex.
Lucy, you got some explaining, Lucy.
Oh, my God, what did you do to him?
He fell into some cactus. A lot of cactus. We gave him the tequila for the pain.
I think the desert made a big impression on him.
I told you to make it special, idiot! Not to kill him! Se me sale de aquí todos! Get out of here, para fuera! Get the hell out of here! You two, come on, vámonos!
Pero por qué?
Baby? Honey?
Cactus needles embedded.
Whatever you do, don't turn over.
Later, he's walking with difficulty. Isabel's cleaning.
I'm confused. If babies can only see in black and white, then how come that Barney guy is purple?
Dinosaurs come later, tantito.
He uses a rubber ring.
Wait, don't sit there. I'm doing the floors next.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. I read about this. This is the nesting period, isn't it?
Well, it must be, because I can't seem to get this place clean enough.
He pulls her to him, and they kiss.
Oh, I'm sorry, poor baby.
Yeah, I think there's one still in there.
Then we'll just have to take these pants off so that I can take a closer look.
Whatever you say, doctor.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I ran into an old friend of yours the other day, Kathy something.
Kathy Stewart?
Uh-huh.
Really? When?
Last week, the same day as the cactus. I think she's jealous.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it.
He scurries out, pulling up his jeans. Isabel's thoughtful.
Coming, Al.
A well-dressed elderly couple.
Surprise!
Mom, Dad. I wanted to call first. This was her idea.
I spoke to Kathy the other day, and she said we just had to get our little fannies out here and see what you were up to.
She practically insisted. What the hell is that? Squirrel?
Alex, who is it?
I got it, hon.
He joins them outside.
Now, that is what I call a housekeeper.
Honey, did we come at a bad time?
No. She's just, she's cleaning the oven, and the fumes are, Well, you're here. You're really here.
Isabel appears.
Hi.
Hello. Alex, aren't you going to introduce us?
Yes. Yes, this is,
Isabel.
Isabel, right.
Isabel. Well, it's very nice to meet you. I'm Alex's mother, Mrs. Whitman, and this is Mr. Whitman.
Oh, my God, you're his parents. Oh, my God, look at me. I'm amazed. Well, it's so great to finally meet you.
She hugs them.
Oh, please, come in.
Very friendly.
You must be exhausted. Did you just get in?
Uh-huh.
Would you like something to drink?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that is a great idea. Why don't you get the drinks? I love you.
Okay.
And I'll, think of something.
Who wants a cold beer?
Terrific.
Oh, I'd love one.
Don't you dare tell them anything until I come back.
She is wonderful. Of course, there must be a lot of good help around here. I mean, just being so close to Mexico.
My God.
Such a warm people.
Isn't this a company house? I mean, you would think that they could afford a decent decorator.
Dad, Mom, why don't you sit down?
Richard holds up the rubber ring and frowns.
What the hell is this?
Honey, is there something wrong?
Alex glances anxiously over his shoulder.
Yes, I have to tell Isabel where the bottle opener is.
So, how was Europe? Boy, you came back soon.
Europe?
Alex said you were gone for the summer.
Oh, Alex. You know better than that. We hate Europe in the summer. Too many tourists.
Europe in the summer.
Isabel's shocked.
You lied to me. All this time.
Alex goes to whisper in her ear.
No, no quiero oír nada. No, no quiero que me digas una palabra. Estoy harta de tus mentiras. Es todo lo que me has dicho. Mentiras. Cobarde.
What does that mean?
That means you're a liar and a coward. That's what it means.
She runs upstairs.
Sounded so much prettier in Spanish.
Embarrassed smiles all around.
Would you excuse me for a minute?
He bounds up the stairs.
Sounds like somebody's about to get fired.
In their bedroom.
Isabel, I was going to tell them.
When? After the baby was born?
I didn't want to do it over the phone.
My father won't even speak to me. But I went there. I told him the truth. But you don't even have the balls to pick up the phone and just let them know what's going on.
Downstairs, the Whitmans drink their bottles of beer impatiently.
Look, my family's not like yours, okay? I never see them. I never talk to them. I don't have dinners
excuses,
with them.
Excuses, excuses, excuses. You should have told them.
I wanted to do it in person, okay? Why is that so hard for you to understand?
With nose in the air, she strides to the door, then turns and glares at him.
Well, here's your big chance.
She opens the door for him. They appear on the stairs hand in hand.
Mom, Dad, I have some interesting and exciting news. I'd like you to meet Isabel Fuentes Whitman.
Oh, my God.
On a Mexican lake, Isabel stands on the top deck of a boat with her mother and father, who's wearing a knotted handkerchief on his head.
I let these people come. They didn't die. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
Mama, do something.
Why are you being so difficult?
Because, as far as I'm concerned, these people are not her in-laws because she's not married. And if she's not married, she has no in-laws. So why am I celebrating the Cinco de Mayo with complete strangers?
They're only strangers because you won't talk to them.
Pues no les voy a hablar.
Tomás? Either you act like the man I married, or tonight, you sleep with the dogs.
They come downstairs to the shade of the lower deck to join the Whitmans. Nan sips a cocktail with her feet up.
I hope you have plenty of lotion, and the desert sun kicks off this water like a mirror.
Oh, I think that if we just stay in the shade, we'll be fine.
Suit yourselves. Pity you didn't bring your suits.
Yes, oh, yes. Well, we didn't exactly plan for this. Jesus Christ, is it hot?
Thomas freezes and glances across at his wife, who winces.
Señor, I would like to tell you something. I do not believe these kids have a clue what they are getting themselves into.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Really?
Absolutely. Marriage is a serious commitment.
Well, I happen to think that it's terribly romantic.
Nan, hun, see, you're not helping.
I have to agree with her, Richard. You men forget how foolish you once were chasing after us.
This is different. They are different. They come from a different culture, a different world. It's hard enough to make a marriage work without adding to it.
Listen to the man, Alex. He has a point. I think they're going to start spelling the big words soon.
Why can't you just be happy for us?
Because I'm afraid for you. This whole thing never would have happened if he hadn't gone after
you. No, wait a second, Tomas. It takes two to tango. She is just as guilty as he is.
Now let's just calm down, shall we? They fell in love. And love is a beautiful thing.
Ask yourself this question, Sabelita. Where will you live? How will you raise your child?
We don't know yet.
You see?
Well, let's just start with the economics. They will live in New York, because that's where his job is.
And the religion will have to be Catholic.
Says who?
The mother is Catholic. Whatever the mother is, the baby is.
And just what is the matter with Presbyterian?
Presbyterian is not a religion.
I beg your pardon?
Thomas, whatever. This country was founded by people who were escaping religious persecution. The Whitmans were one of them.
Sir, when the West was stolen from Mexico, the Fuentes family made a vow that even though they took our land, they never take our culture.
Culture? You call this culture? Guacamole in a ghetto blaster in the middle of a desert?
Yeah. Now you're offending Amalia's guacamole? Yeah. What's wrong with Amalia's guacamole?
In case you haven't noticed, the white people are melting out here.
Nan buries her face in her drained cocktail glass. That night...
Isabel, it was 112 degrees. I fried an egg on my head. And he didn't mean white. He meant not tan.
Don't go there.
Hey, well, your father wasn't too helpful either with all that Catholic talk.
Alex, the first time I realized I was pregnant, I got stopped at a stoplight right in front of St. Viviana's. You know what it was? It was a sign.
Of what?
That the baby would be Catholic.
Well, then it's a good thing you weren't stopped in front of an IHOP.
Oh, you think that's funny?
Look, Isabel, religion is the opiate of the masses, okay?
And country clubs are filled with racists.
Yes, right, I agree. But do you really think hanging a crucifix on a wall is going to protect you from anything?
As a matter of fact, I do. I believe because I am a woman of faith. The faith I have in that crucifix and the faith I have in us, it all comes from the same place inside of me. Now, you on the other hand, you're not even an active Presbyterian. So, why don't you want me to carry my faith and my belief to our child? It's a good way to be. It's
but
a good thing to do.
It's not the only way to be. It's not the only thing to do. Where are you going?
You're not my favorite person right now.
Yeah, well, you either.
On sight.
Do you want my advice? Get out now. I'll even file it for you.
Who said lawyers don't have hearts?
Hey, what did you expect? Now you have a relationship built on heat. It's like Vegas. I mean, why didn't they just build a city on the sun?
You know, maybe you're not the guy to talk to about this.
No, I'm the perfect guy to talk to about this, because I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to be the decent guy, but I'm telling you, the longer you put this off, the worse it'll be.
Put what off? I just said we had a fight.
You said a lot more than that, my friend. Look, Alex, we're here to get a job done. And in case you haven't noticed, we're running a little behind schedule.
Hey, can I help it if Cinco de Mayo fell on a Tuesday? Hey,
just get your priorities straight before the shit really hits the fan.
Why? What's up?
We had a little visit from OSHA. Will you talk to the foreman? You know, we came this close to a red tag shutdown.
They stand beside neon signs.
Jesus. All right, look, I will handle this, okay?
Good.
In an antenatal clinic.
Mrs. Gonzalez, please.
Alex storms in.
May I help you?
Isabel Fuentes, Whitman.
Isabel's alone in a side room. Alex creeps in.
Isabel.
Alex, I thought you had to work.
I do, but I need to talk to you.
I need to talk to you, too. I feel really bad about the way things have been going.
Oh, no, no, it was my fault. Look, I haven't been completely honest with you. And I was thinking on the way over...
Hello, Isabel. How are we today?
We're fine.
Well, you must be the father I've heard so much about. I'm Lisa Lawrence.
Alex Whitman.
You're just in time for the show.
The doctor prepares for the scan.
What? Come on.
The doctor applies gel to Isabel's stomach. Alex is alarmed.
Is that going to hurt her?
Oh, no. It tickles.
The ultrasound scan appears on screen. Alex looks about the room.
Whoa. What is that?
It's your baby's heartbeat.
It's so fast.
It's normal.
Neat, huh?
Yeah.
The doctor points.
There's the head. There's a leg.
Wait a minute. Is that his?
Actually, I think that's an arm. It's a little too early to determine the baby's sex. Okay, let's take the first picture of your baby.
Deeply moved, Alex tenderly kisses Isabel's forehead.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
Outside.
Jeff,
Jeff, I'm telling you, I could hear his little heartbeat, you know? I mean, it was going boom, boom, doom, boom.
That's great, that's great. Hey, listen, I spoke to New York yesterday. Guess who was 3 weeks ahead of schedule?
All right, Charlie Peters doesn't have a life, okay?
I'm just saying.
Hey, where the hell is my crane?
Performance says first thing tomorrow.
Isabel pulls up.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Isabel.
Wow, what are you doing here?
I've come to kidnap you.
Alex, this is really not a good day.
Oh, don't make me hurt you, gringo. It's his birthday, and I won't take no for an answer.
Will you cover for me?
Please.
Through gritted teeth.
Have a good time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. So where are we going?
It's a surprise. Big surprise.
They sit overlooking the awesome Grand Canyon.
The very first time I came here, my father told me this story about a family of squirrels that lived on the plateau.
Mm-hmm.
He said that one day the canyon split. Half of the squirrels ended up on the north rim and the other half on the south rim. Over time, the two families became different, each one adjusting to their own environment. The ones to the north are dark, bushy tail, and have bigger ears. The ones to the south are leaner, meaner, and much prettier. And even though they look different and they act different, they are the exact same squirrel. They just grew up on different sides.
Alex smiles and takes in the vast horizon.
And this canyon between them?
He turns to her questioningly.
Will they ever be able to cross it?
Well, I've been thinking about making you a deal. If we can stay here until the baby's born, I'll move to New York.
Isabel, that's so great.
Well, I'm not saying I like it, but I'll give it a try.
You got a deal.
Good. Then I can give you your present.
She goes to a picnic hamper.
You mean there's more?
Uh-huh. I called my new mother-in-law, and I asked her to do me a little favor.
A cloth-covered box.
This arrived today.
He hastily unwraps the cloth and ribbon to reveal a cool box. Puzzled, he unzips it. Gray's papaya hot dogs.
I can't believe you did this!
Who said you can't have the best of both worlds, huh?
He smells the fried onions, then smiles with love and gratitude.
This is the most wonderful birthday I've ever had.
They look into each other's eyes. He kisses her tenderly.
Okay, you think this is good? Where do you try these?
He hands her a hot dog.
Let's see.
She takes a large bite and chews appreciatively. He savors his.
Mmm.
Oh. Oh.
This is good.
Oh. Oh.
You've got five men without hard hats, no load statement, the bathroom doors don't meet handicap standards, and I told your foreman 2 weeks ago to build that ramp. I'm afraid I'm gonna have to shut you down.
Whoa. Would you excuse us for a minute? Stanley, walk with me.
Alex slaps Stan on the back and takes him aside. Stan's skeptical. Jeff and Donna exchange a worried look.
I mean it, Alex. You got 1 week. Anything goes wrong out here, I mean anything, it's your ass.
Stanley, I swear to God, if anything else goes wrong, I will red tag this place myself. Now let's forget about this and go to lunch.
The giant boulevard cube has fallen onto Stan's car, crushing it. Alex cringes.
We could take my car.
It was a sign. Of course it was. God was telling him to quit that job and stay here with you.
I know, Mama. It was like a real sign with neon and all that stuff.
Oh. Then it was a miracle nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
And your husband? When does he come home?
Tonight. He doesn't sound very good.
Oh, wait. Which candle am I lighting? To keep the job or lose the job?
She thinks.
To keep.
Alex stands in Judd Marshall's New York office.
I probably should have sent you to Tokyo.
Judd, I can open Vegas in 3 weeks.
Judd stands and moves round to face a nervy Alex.
You know, if you could pull that off, I just might be forced to give you the Midtown Club.
Alex smiles uncertainly.
You'd still give it to me? You're the best field man I've got. We break ground July 1st.
Jeff said it wasn't starting until October.
You want me to give it to somebody else?
No, no.
Alex flounders.
It's just that the baby's due in October. And I promise...
Is there a problem?
Judd pins him with his gaze.
No, there's no problem.
At the casino.
Let him get the club open.
He's changed, Lainey. I can't reach him. Something happened in New York.
Isabel, the guy's got a lot on his mind.
No, it's more than that. I think he's in trouble, but he won't talk to me.
What, you think he wants out?
I don't know.
It's the night of the club's grand glitzy opening, the neon-lit blue boulevard cube towering over its walls of mirrored black and pink squares. The rich and elegantly clad guests arrive, streaming up the red carpet. Some pause for a press photograph. Inside, guests clamour at the bar, where illuminated bottles line up on glass shelves. People play snooker. Isabel appears dressed in a full-length red satin sleeveless dress, her hair secured in a bun. A Spanish black and red tasseled shawl loose about her shoulders. Lane is in maroon, her ginger hair piled high. They're amazed. Then they spot Alex up at the bar, who makes his way through the heaving dance floor to greet them.
Hi!
Hey, hi!
Hey! I've been worried about you.
Yeah, me too. Listen, you guys, I'm getting a drink.
You shouldn't worry about anything. It's your big night.
Alex is uncomfortable.
Isabel, I think now that the club's open, we should probably talk.
I am so proud of you, Alex. This looks fantastic. Hey, why aren't you more excited?
Well, it's just been a little hectic. You know, it's been a lot going on, and you look great.
No, I look fat.
The baby kicks. She guides his hand. Donna sidles up.
The baby likes the music. Alex? Hi. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Teeny little problem in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. I'll see you. See you.
Isabel makes her way back through the crowded dance floor. Waiters serve cocktails behind the bar. She looks around for Alex, pressing her silver clutch bag to her stomach, then, spotting him, slowly approaches a table where he, Jeff and Judd are deep in conversation. The men stand.
There you are.
Judd, this is my wife, Isabel. Isabel, this is my boss, Judd Marshall.
Oh, hello!
Hello, nice to meet you. It's a real pleasure, Isabel.
It's very nice to meet you, too.
You're in for quite an adventure.
Oh. It has been so far.
I knew that if I dangled the Midtown Club in front of your husband, he'd get back on track.
Well, we don't need to talk.
Excuse me?
Just think, by this time next week, you'll both be New Yorkers. I hope you're packed. Great work, Alex, but I gotta get out of here. Nightclubs give me a headache. I'll see you at the end of the week. We can all have dinner. Nice meeting you, Isabel.
I work here.
Stunned, Isabel shoots Alex a look, then storms out. Alex mouths a damn and follows her. Outside.
There was nothing I could do. The job starts July 1st.
Tell them to wait.
I can't do that.
Can't or won't.
I've worked too long, too hard to
do what? To share your life with someone who loves you, who cares for you? Alex, you have to be there every day.
What do you think I've been killing myself for?
Oh, come on. You knew about this for a month, but you don't include me. Why are you afraid of me? Why do you alienate me from your life?
I don't know.
She takes a deep breath.
Look, I told you in the beginning. I have no problem raising this child on my own.
I thought we were a family.
You don't understand the concept of a family. To you, it's something you put up with on national holidays. Love, it's a gift, Alex. Not an obligation.
Look, this is the brass ring. I've worked my entire life for an opportunity like this, and I am not giving it up because one night I put a $5 ring on your finger in front of Elvis as a witness.
Isabel flees, choking back tears, leaving Alex seething and embarrassed in the public place. It's early next morning and Alex arrives home. He wearily flings his jacket down and lifts Cho off a chair. Isabel's photographs are displayed on the wall.
Hey, Cujo. Oh, come here.
He glances up to the bedroom and, holding Cho awkwardly, he trudges upstairs. In the bedroom, Isabel's red dress lies on the unmade bed.
Isabel?
He's puzzled. He puts Cho down.
Hello? Lainey? What happened?
Alex rushes into a hospital.
Maternity?
Second floor.
Isabel's in a private room. She turns her back on Alex. He approaches.
Are you all right?
I'm all right.
She hides her tears, stony-faced. He stands uneasily, eyes cast down.
Is the baby okay?
There is no baby.
He stares open-mouthed, hands in pockets.
What?
Look, Alex, I've been thinking if I hadn't been pregnant, I wouldn't have gone to your house that night and we wouldn't have gotten married. The baby was the reason for us to be together.
That's not true.
I thought it was fate. It was just a stupid, superstitious dream, you know. There are no signs, Alex. And we're too different, and we will always be.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying we're not meant to be together.
No, don't do this. Not now.
Alex, this is not gonna work.
Isabel, let me help you.
Get out, Alex.
She turns on him.
Get out!
He hesitates, stunned.
Get out!
Speechless, he leaves the room, vanishing into the ward beyond. Isabel starts to sob uncontrollably and buries her face in the pillows. In the maternity ward, Lainey puts a comforting hand on his shoulder. With a little shake of the head, he gently stops her and moves off without a word. He sits on the curb outside the hospital, feet up to his knees, lost in thought. Back home, he sadly gets juice from the fridge. He sees the scan photograph stuck to the door. He grips the counter, then furiously hurls the juice carton against the wall. He rips up the photo. Alex arrives at the ward with flowers in a vase. He stops in the doorway to the now empty private room, the bed neatly made up. Isabel is driving south.
When I was younger, I believed the dreams came true.
She rests her elbow against the top of the door, her hand across her mouth as tears silently fall, the long, straight, dusty road stretching far ahead of her into the distance.
Now I wonder.
Night. And at her parents' house, Alex peers in through the glass panel door. He scans the street desperately. Thomas opens the door. Alex starts to explain, gesticulating, and Thomas slams the door in his face. Next day, and at her great-grandmother's, the grey-haired old lady is banging rugs on the line as the dusty Jeep pulls up. She looks up and smiles. She comes into the yard to greet Isabel. Then her smile fades as she sees the girl distraught and exhausted. At Alex's, a removal van stands in the drive. Alex hands over Cho to the brothers and nods his farewell, then ambles over to a waiting cab. Children play in the street. New York, and the Statue of Liberty is lit up as fireworks streak across the night sky.
I keep on praying for blue sky.
At his office window, Alex watches the impressive display. He leans on his desk and ponders.
Will they ever come again? Now I wonder.
At her great-grandmother's, Isabel, in loose-fitting Mexican dress, pins white sheets to the line. The two barefooted boys run across the chicken coop, one struggling under the weight of the inflatable tire. They wave their hellos and slip through a gap in the fence to the river.
There was a time when you and I walked hand in hand.
Alex Alex jostles through the bustling streets of New York. In a primitive chapel, Isabel, dressed in black, files up to the altar by twinkling votive candle racks. She gazes at the wooden crucifix amongst the icons, solemnly makes the sign of the cross, then quickly leaves, pushing open the heavy wooden doors and bursts into the sunshine. On a relaxed, sunny afternoon, Alex sits pensively on the edge of the large Bethesda fountain in Central Park as people come and go. On a cleared building site, Jeff follows Alex out of a porter cabin.
Come on, don't be a putz. He's right behind the dugout. I can't believe you are turning down box seats to a Yankee game.
I got a lot of work to do.
Alex, you are killing me. These girls come two to a bag. I'm telling you, you cannot date one without the other.
I am not up for it. Okay, Jeff?
Well, get up for it, okay, Alex? You know, this monk thing is getting a little old.
Alex Whitman?
A woman holds an envelope.
That's me.
Then this is for you. Sign here.
What is this?
Divorce papers. You have 6 days to contest. Have a nice day.
Oh, you too.
Well, there you go. Life sucks. Welcome to the club. Now, about Friday. Come with us.
Isabel sits with her great-grandmother in her kitchen. A caption. It was the right thing to do.
Nanita tenía que hacerlo.
No te traicionó.
It's not your faith that's betrayed you, it's your fear.
Tu miedo.
Me estaba perdida, eso
I got lost, that's all. But now I make my own decisions. How selfish you are, to presume you know better than love. Isabel turns in the door. She's heavily pregnant. He would never have left if he knew I was pregnant. He wanted to go. I let him off the hook. Nanita continues. No, you let yourself off the hook. You denied your heart and lied to the man you love. Why? She considers, then slowly sits, supporting her lower back. Because I had to. If I didn't leave him, he would have left me.
Porque si yo no lo hubiera dejado...
Isabel replies, and I really don't think I could have handled that.
Yo no lo hubiera podido soportar.
Nanita kneels close and lifts Isabel's chin and says, you will never know love unless you surrender to it.
Nunca vas a conocer el amor si no te entregas a él.
Isabel hangs her head and sobs, gripping Nanita's gnarled hand. Alex sits distractedly at
Whitman.
Alex, hi, it's Kathy. Did I catch you at a bad time?
Kathy Stewart. Your timing is impeccable.
Well, I heard about what happened with you and your wife, and I just wanted to tell you how very sorry I am.
Thanks.
He spins the ring.
Okay, so listen. Your parents are coming sailing with us this weekend. Is there any chance that you could join us? Hello?
You know what? You got yourself a date.
A thunderstorm. In bed, Isabel tosses and turns and sits up, stroking her heavy belly. Alex idly wanders through a crowd of late-night New York shoppers. He passes a blind preacher whose blonde locks fall about his ears.
There are signs everywhere.
Alex stops and slowly turns. The preacher turns to face him, Bible in hand. Puzzled, Alex approaches.
What did you say?
You look lost. There are signs everywhere to help you find your way.
Alex stares at the man with a thoughtful frown, then moves off into the bustling streets. Next day, Alex comes down the steps of his apartment in casual gear. On the pavement, he gets entangled in the extended lead of a sand-colored chihuahua. Alex stares at the dog a moment as the obese owner picks the thing up. Alex mutters his apologies, then thoughtfully walks away. He hits a busy street and hails a cab. A yellow cab pulls up and he gets in.
South Street Heliport.
On the other side of the street, a coach moves off with the sign, Caesar's Atlantic City. New York's Times Square glitters in the sunshine, giant advertising hoardings far above the traffic and crowded pavements. Alex cranes his neck out of the window at a massive photograph of the Grand Canyon in its rosy evening glory, Kodak written beneath. He gives a little half-smile of puzzled amazement, then sits back in his seat. The cab pulls up at the port, the Hudson River glinting in the sunshine beyond. Alex walks into the lobby and towards Kathy and the waiting parents chatting by the desk.
There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh. Hi, darling. Oh, isn't this fun? I was just telling Diana, I can't remember the last time we all got together like this.
How are you?
Hi, Bruce. Understand you've been doing some great things with that club of yours. Well done.
A pretty little Mexican girl watches him.
Alex, wait till you see Bruce's new boat.
Oh, well, a weekend toy.
Well, what do you say we get this show on the road, shall we?
Let's go.
As the group make their way outside, the little girl flashes him a special, coy smile.
Alex.
Kathy hangs back.
Are you all right?
Yes, I am. I just have a thing about helicopters.
Well, you just stick by me then.
Here, let me,
He half-heartedly takes her bag.
Thank you.
They join the others. Kathy beams as they walk across the breezy helipad. A woman rushes towards the little girl who watches Alex through the glass.
Isabel! Come back inside.
He stares open-mouthed at the little girl as she's led back inside. Alex hesitates and looks at the bags in his hand. In a daze, he wanders out to the waiting helicopter, where Kathy stands smiling and beckoning to him, her long blonde hair blowing in the breeze. That's not all. Darker shame, darling, darker shame. Alex steps up to her, then whispers something in her ear. She gives a little smile and shrugs, then gets inside. The doors slide across. Alex's father looks disapprovingly through the glass. His mother blows a little kiss. Alex gives a little wave and smiles to himself. He watches as the helicopter takes off, swooping high and over the New York City skyline. He runs inside. Alex unfolds a scrumpled scratch pad note with handwritten travel instructions. He's standing on a remote Earth airstrip surrounded by rocky hills beside a yellow biplane. A plane takes off. He frowns and licks his lips, looking about him uncertainly. He spots a man sitting outside the primitive flight hut. He calls to him.
Temazula?
Tamazula!
How do I get there?
Tranvía!
Tamazula!
Tranvía!
Tamazula!
Tranvía!
What the hell's a tranvía?
That bus over there!
The rickety bus rattles along a dusty track laden with luggage. Inside, Alex stands squeezed with the other passengers. Later, Alex rides a donkey up a track, goaded by a boy with a stick. He's outside Nanita's mud-walled farm. Alex stumbles off and dusts himself down. He squeezes through the wooden door in the mud walls. He looks over into the yard where Nanita is feeding sheep.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Yo, me amo Alex Whitman. Busco Isabel Fuentes. Está aquí.
No, no está aquí.
No, she's not here. She went home to give birth to your baby.
I don't understand that.
A Las Vegas.
To Las Vegas.
You gotta be kidding.
De modo que tú eres.
So you are Isabel's great love, my sweet boy. Nanita kisses his cheek. Grimy, sweat-smeared Alex manages an exhausted smile. Isabel drives north along the long, straight road through the rocky desert. Alex is on a small passenger plane on the phone to Lainey.
Lainey, please. I'm probably flying over her right now. When did she call?
A couple of hours ago. She was in the galley, which means she'll hit the van around 8. Why, what are you going to do?
He checks his watch, then gleefully thumps the seat in front.
Alex?
Yes.
When I first saw you.
An aerial view of the Hoover Dam as the light begins to fade. A lone figure stands beside the wide curving road that hugs the sheer drop. He stands directly on the Nevada, Arizona state line. It's Alex. As night falls, he still waits, then casts his eyes heavenwards as heavy rain begins. Alex raises his arms in surrender as he's quickly soaked. Isabel drives now with the canvas roof up and passes the Hoover Dam 2 mile sign. Alex screws his eyes up in the rain, then spots the Jeep's headlamps approaching. As she rummages in the glove compartment, Alex steps in the path of the Jeep. Cars swerve to avoid a crash. Isabel steps outside.
Alex Whitman! What the hell? Are you trying to get us both killed?
I'm not giving you a divorce!
Oh, you're too late!
No! I still got till 12!
Alex, it's over!
Get the hell off the road!
There was a priest! He said there were signs everywhere!
What priest?
Right by the hot dogs! And then you had the Chihuahua, the Grand Canyon, the little girl named Isabel. I mean, there are signs everywhere!
I don't believe in signs, Alex. Not anymore.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you were wrong. The baby didn't bring us together. It was something else, something bigger. I just didn't believe it until now.
She throws up her hands, distraught.
Don't do this.
By the Jeep.
I love you. I love you so much it hurts. What the hell is going on with your stomach?
Just go home.
You're still pregnant. You're still pregnant.
I know.
How could you lie to me about that? How could you do that to me?
I was afraid. I tried to reach, but I couldn't. You lied to me, so I lied to you.
I know. I was wrong, and I'm sorry, but I'm here now. Don't you know what this means? We're gonna have a baby.
No. I'm gonna have a baby. You're gonna call 911, okay?
Why?
Because my water just broke.
But we're on a dam.
Cars still lie strewn as a police car pulls up. Isabel lies in a doorway.
Excuse me. The ambulance is on its way. Should be here in about 10 minutes. Sir, is this your wife?
Yes.
No. Ma'am, do you think maybe we could move you over to the main building over there?
She's not going anywhere. These contractions are right on top of each other.
You hear that, Isabel? The contractions are right on top of each other.
I'm not deaf. I'm in labor.
Oh, my God. We're having a baby.
I hate you.
They always say that. Isabel, you can do this. You're the bravest person I've ever known. What'd she say?
She said she loves me. Can't live without me.
Okay, folks, I hope you got her name picked out because it looks like we're gonna have this baby right here, right now. Let's give her some air.
Okay. The baby's coming, but don't worry. I'm here. I'm right here.
Go away, Alex, you bad luck.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm never leaving you again.
Get away from me! Baby, God, please me. I'm so sorry for everything. I need you so much.
I love you. Wow. Oh, wow. You're breaking my hand. She's breaking my hand.
Okay, ma'am. The baby is crowned. Now I need you to start pushing.
There's a blanket in the back of my car for the baby.
It's about to push.
Okay. Okay, something, anything.
Okay. I rode a mule.
No wonder you stink.
And your great-grandmother kissed me.
You
Someone to us, boy.
Girl, girl.
The head is out.
Okay, breathe. This is it. This is it. Okay, push, push, breathe, breathe.
Okay, Isabel. One more big push to do.
She pushes, as does Alex.
It's a girl.
It's a beautiful girl. She's so beautiful.
The burly, oilskin-coated policeman bundles up the tiny thing and carefully passes her to Isabel, who cradles her in her arms. Alex huddles close, overcome. The policeman readjusts his hat and blows out his lips proudly. Inside the ambulance, Isabel lies against the pillows, the baby asleep against her. She watches Alex outside on the state line, lifting a coin to his lips. With eyes pressed shut, he kisses it. Then hurls it high into the air and into the abyss beyond. Isabel smiles sleepily as he steps inside and looks down at the baby.
That was a little superstitious, don't you think?
I don't want to tempt fate.
He sits beside the trolley and kisses the baby's head.
Do you think she'd like living in New York?
Probably not as much as she'll like camping in the desert.
With a few grays papaya hot dogs.
Alex's smile fades as he remembers and looks at his watch.
Oh, no.
What?
We're divorced.
At their wedding ceremony.
Wise men say only fools run.
The camera slowly pans back to reveal the party standing on a high rocky ledge, around an altar adorned with candelabra. A breeze gently blows through the white floral displays and ribbons. They're high on the edge of the Grand Canyon, the rose-tinged gorges stretching far beyond them. ITFC audio description by Joanna Myers.
Would it be if I can